This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chen Li. We're sticking to the effects of the Ukraine war, but this time on Germany, because according to Bloomberg, Germany is planning to increase its borrowing plans by nearly 40 billion euros this year to cushion the effect of the war in Ukraine. This would increase net new debt to almost 140 billion euros.
Now, the adjustment is needed to help finance a range of government measures designed to offset the economic impact of the war and, of course, the surging energy prices. Now, while no official news has been announced yet, the proposal by Finance Minister will then be sent to Parliament for approval. Since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, the German government has actually been breaking their long-standing fiscal taboos and unleashed an unprecedented borrowing binge with new debt of 130 billion euros in 2020 and then another record 215 billion euros in 2021.
The ruling coalition has suspended constitutional rules limiting new debt for three consecutive years to deal with the economic fallout from the pandemic, but by standing by a pledge to restore them in 2023. But can it really keep to this pledge? And what happens if the war in Ukraine continues to escalate?
So for some thoughts on this, we have with us Dr. Friedrich Klim, research fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Friedrich, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Now, the German government is mulling a proposal to borrow nearly 40 billion euros to cushion its economy. How likely is the government to approve it, especially given that Germany is famously known for being debt averse?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me again. Great to be on with you. Well, I think Parliament is quite likely to approve that additional debt of 40 billion euros, I think, right? 39 point something. That will be done on Wednesday. And, you know, this is actually only an additional package to be added to the already approved 100 billion, 99.7 to be precise, in the original budget for this financial year. And that does not even include the 100 billion special fund, so-called special fund for the armed forces. The modernization of the armed forces is a result of the war in the Ukraine, right? So actually, if this special fund were to be approved later this year, Germany could be borrowing up to 240 billion. And as you just mentioned, the all-time record from last year, from 2021, this year would even top this. So it's true that Germany tends to be fiscally prudent and has been generally over the past few years. But listen, this is largely a legacy of the conservative CDU government, Angela Merkel's party, right, that governed Germany for the past, what, 15 or 16 years. So many parties, and that includes two of the three governing parties, are not actually averse to sovereign debt at all. In fact, they even prefer it over a balanced budget. The only governing party, as I can see it, that has a real problem with this way of stimulating the economy is the Liberal Party, the FDP, and of course, the now in the opposition CDU.
So it looks like there's political will to raise the debt, but will the debt actually help to cushion the impact to the German economy from the ongoing war and, of course, the rising energy prices?
Difficult to predict future fallouts, I guess. But in general, so the German economy is doing reasonably well, as predicted by the IMF. I think it was, albeit a bit lower than we had all hoped, but I think it would be around 2% or so predicted of growth. That's in this current climate in Europe, not too shabby, but overall it's quite difficult to be optimistic, right? Especially inflation is going to be a real problem for the foreseeable future that will squeeze German incomes and savings pretty bad in a country where incomes are relatively low and the saving rate is rather high. But a large chunk of this new budget will be spent to cushion this inflation and higher prices in general for both companies and also private consumers. If this will be enough, I think it will depend on the trajectory of what they now call stagflation, right? Which is really everybody's guess. I hope it will be enough.
And how does this impact sentiments regarding Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz, who took office last year? And what do the German people think of him?
Great question. Interestingly, Scholz is really popular. I think he's the about now half a year or so into his term, I think he's the second most popular politician in the country. And he was the most popular politician for quite a while until recently. So obviously this sovereign debt problem and also his hesitancy over what some perceive as hesitancy over weapon deliveries to Ukraine is not what inspires people's sympathy or antipathy. His party is also polling pretty much at the same level last time I checked as compared on election day. So I think, again, this is a much greater problem all in all for the FDP, for the Liberals, whose voters really demand a balanced budget and whose voters are the ones that expect fiscal prudence and limited government interference in the economy. But so far, Scholz is polling pretty much pretty well.
Friedrich, what kind of implications will Germany's higher debt have on the EU's wider economy?
So I think in terms of the wider EU or the Eurozone, I think not very much, to be honest. The euro area is predicted to grow pretty much in the medium range. And bear in mind that sovereign debt is not that great in Germany as compared to other countries in the Eurozone, right? Especially Italy and Greece. I think Germany is somewhere in the middle. So I think in the long term, this may have some reputational impact. So I think it's important that a frugal, quote unquote, Germany ensures fiscal prudence in the Eurozone going forward. But the immediate impact on the Eurozone or the EU by and large of this specific sovereign debt will not be that great, to be honest, especially because Germany's GDP is growing relatively strong.
Yeah, but I'm just curious, what would be the consequence to the German economy if actually Russia were to turn off the gas?
Oh, wow. So first of all, I think Russia is quite unlikely to turn off the gas from their side. I think that would not be really a smart move. I really don't see that coming. But who knows Putin these days, right?
Yes.
Possible. In any case, I think what is possible is that, and the discourse in Germany is quite going that way, right? That we should embargo Russian oil and gas, right? And the consequences here are impossible to predict. A number of experts have said that the economic consequences would not be so great, more comparable to the pandemic drop of 2021. But Olaf Scholz keeps rightly, in my opinion, saying that these are statistical models, right? Statistical calculations that cannot show the full extent of the fallout. So he mentions, for example, the possible secondary effects, right, on certain industries that depend on gas for production. That includes pharmaceuticals, mechanical manufacturing, and so forth, right? This will have huge unemployment and so forth. So the majority of economists actually in Germany and other experts as well warn that would Berlin cut off or embargo Russian oil and gas, that Germany could not tolerate this at all. The deep recessionary and actually indeed social effects could not be cushioned. So I would strongly warn against that. And I think it's relatively unlikely, but once again, This is a crazy atmosphere at the moment, so who can predict the future? But I hope this will not happen.
So apart from harsher sanctions and political pressure, is there anything else that can be done by the EU to resolve this crazy conflict? Do you expect them to increase military support or action?
So for now, there's a clear distinction between NATO and non-NATO countries, right, in terms of where the war is taking place, the fighting is taking place. So I don't think military action is likely at all, neither by NATO and, of course, not by the EU, who doesn't have their own forces, right? So military action is reasonably unlikely, I would say. But in terms of arms financing, further arms financing from the EU, that's possible. They have done it, and that's quite something. That was quite a sea change for a self-identified normative actor to finance lethal weapons for a country that is not even a member. I don't think the EU can do very much other than that, except, of course, further sanctions that are certainly possible and further financing of weapons from various special pots, funding pots. But the issue with sanctions, as you perhaps know, is they may harm in the long run, but they're pretty lousy at deterring military action. So I think an actual solution to the conflict now can only be, that's my personal opinion, people may disagree with me on this, but it can only be a bilaterally negotiated freezing of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And as much as we interfere in this conflict, I don't think there is a real strong influence we have beyond supplying them with weapons.
Frederick, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Dr. Frederick Klim, research fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, weighing in on how Germany's economy is impacted by the prolonged war in Ukraine.
It's interesting when he's talk about the popularity of Olaf Scholz. He was actually, I think he has 50% approval rate before this crisis. But of course, Frederick mentioned, that he has to manage the hesitancy weapon for Ukraine, and also on how he deals with the debt. So we have to see how this will roll out for him in terms of popularity.
Well, we look at the GDP, right? Still a healthy 2.2% for 2022. I think the bugbear might be unemployment, which is currently at 5% for the German economy. But I think the question is, if the gas really gets turned off, and this time maybe by Germany, not so much Russia, what will the repercussions be? And that will be quite severe, because Germany is extremely gas dependent on Russia. It is closing off all its nuclear plants one by one.
Something that we are going to be watching very closely as the situation develops. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.